So imagine I'm feeling lonely and I need a friend, and beggars can't be choosers, so it's probably got to be one of you lot, hasn't it? So I look out and I try to think, who might I want to be friends with here? And I see Dan sat at the back there. Dan looks like such a nice bloke. Up you come, Dan. Up you come, Dan. Dan, will you be my friend? Please. Oh, go on. I think to myself, well, how can I have Dan be my friend? And I think, well, maybe if I do something to kind of impress him, maybe then Dan will decide he wants to be my friend. So I think, well, you know, Dan, look at him, he's kind of quite sporty, isn't he? He's probably quite into his football. If I'm any good at keepy uppies, Maybe he'll agree to be my friend. That didn't go very well. Just drop once more. Oh, no. No, no. Will you be my friend? What else could I do to impress Dan? Any ideas? What could I do to try and impress Dan and make him be my friend? You got any ideas? Get to that bit later, Ellen. We get to that bit later. What else could I do to have Dan be my friend? I don't know. I could smile nicely at him, couldn't I? Could sing a song, see if he's into that kind of thing. Twinkle, twinkle, little. Please, Dan, be my friend.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, it's just hopeless, isn't it? Absolutely hopeless. It's not what being friends is about, though, is it? It's not about kind of impressing someone so that they want to be your friend. Because if that's how it worked, it would be a disaster, wouldn't it? Because what if I was really, really good and I managed to do, I don't know, 100 keepy-uppies or something like that, and then over time I got older and frailer and I couldn't do my keepy-uppies anymore, then he wouldn't want to be my friend anymore, would he? That'd be hopeless. Or imagine this happened. Imagine I'm as bad at keepy-uppies as you sure I just am. I managed to get to 3, and they weren't 3 very good ones. And then Alex turns up. Look, dressed for it, notice, dressed for it. And so am I with my record of 3, and then Alex has a go, and...
How are you doing, friend?
I'm good, thank you.
See, even if Dan did agree to be my friend, because I could do 3, Alex comes along and does, well, only 7, to be honest, but... suddenly... Dan wants to be Alex's friend. That's not how friendship works, is it? Thanks very much. Thank you, both of you. I feel wounded. Wounded. Do you know, is that how it works with God? Is that how we become friends with God? It's amazing how many people think it works a bit like that. But if you want to be friends with God, you've got to impress him somehow. You've got to kind of do something that makes God look at you and think, oh, you're just the kind of person I want to have as my friend. We have to earn it. Maybe you can think of people you know who thinks it works like that. It's amazing how many people think it works like that. Maybe some of us here this morning think that's how it works. It's about us trying to impress God somehow so he'll agree to be our friends. Is that how it works? Well, to think about that this morning, we're going to think about this man who's about to appear on the screen behind me, Martin Luther. The story of Martin Luther. Look at him. He's a good-looking chap, isn't he? He was around. Oh, he was around such a long time ago, 500 years ago. Okay, that's a very long time ago. 500 years ago, exactly in 9 days' time, what I'm about to tell you about happened. So, 500 years—that's a big anniversary, isn't it? That's why people are thinking about it. He was. I mean, it's a long time ago. This is when King Henry VIII. You know, the king with all the wives. That's when he was king of England. But Martin Luther wasn't in England. He was in Germany. And he grew up out there. He had a dad who loved him very much. His dad wanted him to do well in life, wanted him to get a good job. Just have a quick think to yourself, what kinds of jobs might Martin Luther's dad have wanted him to do? What's a good job? What kind of jobs do parents like? Any ideas? What kind of jobs do parents want their children often to get? Doctor, top of my list too. I thought banker for a moment, then I thought, no, probably not anymore. What else?
Lawyer,
exactly right. Martin Luther's dad wanted him to become a lawyer. And he was very bright. He was studying well, so it looked like he was going to become a lawyer. Great thing, because lawyers get really looked up to by people. They can earn lots and lots of money. Any lawyers here? I think there might be one or two in here, not quite sure. Anyway, so there he was going to become a lawyer, and then one day this happened. He was out for a walk through a field, going back home after his studies, and suddenly there was an enormous thunderstorm, just a huge thunderstorm, and Martin Luther was absolutely terrified, and he cried out, huge clap of thunder, and he cried out, "I'll become a monk! Not a lawyer, I'll be a monk instead." Anyone know what a monk is? Monk is someone who kind of steps away from normal life and stops doing normal things and just tries to spend as much of their life as possible doing religious things because they think that's going to make God very pleased with them indeed. So lots of prayers and lots of obeying rules. Monks really like their rules. Don't do this, don't do that. Make sure you do this extra well, that kind of thing. Because often they think, if we keep these rules well enough, then God will be pleased with us. And then God will decide he wants to be our friend. And that's what Martin Luther was thinking. Look, you can almost imagine. He's a bit closer. His monk's rule sheet. There you go. Pray every day. Say sorry for everything. Give all your money. Probably lots more pages of rules as well. It ticks in all those boxes. Then, hopefully, God will want to be my friend. You can imagine him and the other monks thinking. So he became a monk and he went to live in a monastery, which is a place where monks live, and tried to keep the rules. And the trouble is, poor Martin, he didn't know whether he kept them well enough. He tried his hardest. He tried ever so hard, really, really hard on all the rules, but he never knew whether he'd kept them well enough. Had he prayed enough? Had he said sorry for absolutely everything? Had he given enough? Had he been good enough? Was God really pleased with him? And the more he thought about it, the more scared he got. In the end, it's like he almost became more scared about that than he had been in the thunderstorm. Just thinking, does God want me? Or is God going to push me away? You know, he was so terrified, he'd never dare to talk to God directly like we do when we pray, like we've already done in the service here. He thought, I can't possibly do that. That's far too scary. Tell you what, I'm going to pray to Jesus' mum, Mary, instead. And I'm going to hope she hears me because she'll be less scary. And maybe she can sort of pass my message on to God for me, because he thought that was a lot less scary than trying to go to God, because he was just so scared. He didn't know whether he'd impressed God well enough. He thought he had to keep the rules, and it was horrible because he didn't know if he had done. And actually, he got so worried, in the end, he became really quite ill. And then one day something happened that made him very cross indeed. Anyone here got some money on them this morning? Anyone got some money? Hands up if you've got a £20 note on you this morning. Anyone got a 20? Oh, a few people got 20. Take a note of the hands, mug them on the way back to the car. Anyone got a £50 note? Oh, you're not going to tell us if you have, are you? No. Well, people in church would have really liked you back then if you had lots of money. Back when Martin Luther was around, because you know what some of them were saying? They were saying, you know, there is one way you can be God's friend, even if you haven't been perfect and haven't kept all the rules. And that's to have someone else pay for you to be God's friend. Pay money to have God as a friend, which sounds a bit odd to us, doesn't it? But 500 years ago, there were lots of people who thought that was a really excellent idea. See, the way people thought it worked back then was this. If you'd been part of the church, but you hadn't been as good as you should have been, you hadn't kept all the rules, which, let's face it, is all of us, well, you didn't go to heaven when you died. You didn't go to hell. You went to this place the church had invented called purgatory. And purgatory was quite a nasty place, really, where what happens is you suffered for all the bad things that you had done until eventually you paid the price enough. And then at last, maybe after millions of years later, you'd finally be let into heaven. Nice thought, isn't it? Millions of years of suffering. And then finally you can go to heaven. And then the church started to say, well, you know, there is another way. If you want to speed that up a little bit, you could give us some money. Give us some money and you could pay your way out of purgatory a bit sooner. In fact, if you give us enough money, you can skip purgatory altogether and go straight to heaven. And there was a man called Johann Tetzel, and he went round with this little jingle he used to use. It was like his advertising jingle. You get them on the TV adverts, don't you? Do you know how his went? When the coin in the coffer rings, and you put the money in the coffer. A soul from purgatory springs. Isn't that catchy? And the coin in the coffer rings, ka-ching. The soul from purgatory springs, ta-da, into heaven. That's what he said. And lots of people started giving him lots of money. But what do you think about that? I mean, if you've got loads of money and you can afford to pay the church an awful lot, well, maybe you quite like the sound of that because you think, well, hey, no purgatory for me. We're going straight to heaven. But if you haven't got any money and you can't afford to pay, that's desperate, isn't it? And Martin Luther was horrified by the idea because he was thinking, you can't buy God's friendship. That's just not how friendship works, isn't it? Imagine me and Dan again. Dan, back you come. Back you come. See, I've tried everything now. I've tried my keepy uppies, and Alex beat me at that. And I tried my special smiling, and I tried my singing, and he still doesn't want to be my friend. So imagine I say, Dan, will you be my friend?
Wow.
Dan, if I give you this, will you be my friend?
Yeah.
Will you really be my friend?
Yeah,
Dan's my friend. Is that how friendship works? It's not how friendship works at all, is it? All that shows us is Dan cares more about money than he cares about me. Thanks, Dan. Back you go. And I'll take it back off you later. Thanks. Don't forget. So 500 years ago, almost exactly 500 years ago, 500 years ago, in 9 days' time, Martin Luther took a bit of paper entitled The 95 Theses, 95 Things He Had a Problem With. And he nailed it, we think he did, to the door of the church where he was in Wittenberg, in his town. And it was basically his way of saying, whoa, stop. We need to think about this, because there's really quite a big problem with what is going on. So he nailed that to the door to try to get a debate going. So the question for us is, well, what on earth happened next? And if we can't be God's friend by keeping the rules, because we can never do it well enough, and if we can't be God's friend by giving loads of money, because that's not how friendship works, then how on earth can people like you and me be God's friend? That is quite a question, isn't it? Quite a question. And we'll think more about that in a few moments' time. Although we're going to sing now, and actually, as we sing this next song, have a look carefully, because it begins to answer the question, how can people like you and me be friends with God? And then the reading we're going to have straight afterwards from the Bible, that really helps to answer the question. So listen well, and then we'll think a bit more about these things in a few moments' time.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and then we look at chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified.
Brilliant. Thank you, Monica, very much. So we can't be God's friend by trying to keep the rules, because we can never do it well enough. We can't be his friends by paying, because that's not how friendship works. So how can people like us be God's friends? You know, Martin Luther still wasn't sure. He was still thinking that one through, but he kept reading his Bible. And that was a great thing. He had to read his Bible because his job was to train vicars. So he had to read his Bible, and he read it and he studied it. And one day he suddenly realized the glorious answer to that question. How can people like you and me really be friends with God? People like us who keep breaking the rules. How can we be friends with him? Or to use the really technical word, did you notice it? I hope you've still got Galatians 2 open in front of you because you're going to need it in just a minute's time. It's in there. It's the word justified. Anyone know what justified means? It means sort of just as if I'd never sinned. It means God saying, it's okay. You're right with me. It means God saying, I look at you and I'm pleased with what I see. So you really can be my friend. You're good enough for me. So how on earth can people like us be justified, be right with God, be friends with him? I wonder whether you noticed the answer in the second bit of the reading. So let's look at verse 16. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we're not justified, we're not friends with God by the things that we do, the works of the law, which is good news because as we saw, we can't do them well enough. It doesn't work like that. God says that's not how it works. If we think we become friends with God by all the good things we do, God has said, no, that's not how it works. So how does it work? Anyone notice in that verse? How do people like us be justified? Become friends with God by faith in Jesus Christ, simply trusting him and what he's done for us, which we read about a bit in that first bit of the reading back in chapter 1, how he came and he gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, this evil world that we're a part of. And so suddenly Martin Luther realized what that was saying, and it was the most glorious moment. He writes about it. He just says what an exciting moment it was for him when suddenly he realized the way he could be a friend of God was to stop relying on all the things he'd been doing and just to trust Jesus and what he'd done. Instead, he realized being a good monk would never make him good enough. But Jesus could, because Jesus' goodness could be his if he simply trusted him. It's just the most glorious thing. Imagine what a difference it made for Martin. What a difference it makes for people like us to go from doing the very best we can and really hoping it makes us good enough with God, but worrying that maybe it doesn't. And then realizing over and over again, actually, we've never kept the rules well enough, so we can't be right with him. Imagine what a glorious thing it is to go from living life like that to realizing, actually, if we're trusting Jesus, God has given us just the most wonderful gift. Just the most wonderful gift of all. Would you like to open this gift for me? Do you think you could do that? Go on, tear it open. Let's see what this amazing gift is from God. Has it been quite... Oh, my daughter wrapped it up. She may have wrapped it quite well because she does tend to do that. I wonder what it could be. Big tube of Smarties, perhaps? No, not feeling very rattly, is it? Oh, it's going to be worth it when we get there, though. I'll have words with Imogen about her wrapping, don't worry. Here we go. You hold it out and put it out. Look at this. God's gift to us. Look at this. It's one of those rule sheets. Oh, sorry. It's one of those rule sheets, but it's Jesus' rule sheet. And it's like it's got ticks in every box, and this has got all the pages as well. And every time you look at it, look, it's just ticks all the way through, because this is Jesus keeping the rules completely perfectly, all the way through, every single rule in there, there's a tick, because he did it so well. And if we trust him, God says, he just gives that to people like you and me as the most amazing gift from him. Imagine going from having our own sheet and thinking, oh, do I get a tick or not? I don't know. To God saying, there's Jesus' sheets. That belongs to you. His righteousness is yours. You're right with me. You can be my friend. Just the most amazing thing of all. Imagine how different our lives will be if we understood that. How relieved we'd be. How happy we'd be. But we need to get back to the story, because the church wasn't very happy that Martin Luther made this great discovery and was telling as many people as possible what he discovered. The church really didn't like it at all. So they summoned Martin Luther to this big trial. They were really cross because one of the things it meant is that people weren't giving the church money anymore like they'd been enjoying. So they summoned him to this big trial. They sent a formal notice to him first. Look, here it is. It was called a papal bull, which is a slightly funny name, but it basically meant this is a really official notice from the Pope. Can anyone read what it says? Say you're wrong, or you'll have to leave the church. That's what they sent to Martin Luther, because they were trying to stop him saying the things that he was saying. Do you know what Martin Luther did when he received this? It's one of the most attractive things about Martin Luther. He was always kind of quite extreme in his responses. Dan, could you come and give me a hand again, please? Thank you very much. This is what Martin Luther did when he received this. You just hold it. Here we go. Dan is not here, is he? And I feel a bit bad about getting you into trouble. So he did, he burned it. He was so cross. Let's hope that doesn't set any alarms off. He was so cross, he burned it. We won't do that, but let's just screw it up. Tear it up, screw it up, throw it in the bin. That's what Martin Luther did when he received the notice from the Pope, because he just thought, no. So then the Pope, they summoned him to this big trial, and you can imagine the scene. There was a big judge, and poor Martin Luther was dragged in, and they questioned him really hard about all the things that he'd been saying, and asked him if he was going to change his mind. So he asked if he could have a day to think about it. He went away to think about it, and then he came back into the courtroom the next day, and they said, so are you going to change your mind? And he spoke some really famous words at that point. He said, no. Here I stand, I can do no other. Because he'd realised what the Bible was saying about how people like us can be friends with God. And that was such a precious truth. He wasn't going to budge from it for a moment. So do you know what the church did? They threw him out of the church anyway. They said he couldn't belong. And then as he was leaving the trial and as he was going back home on the road, he got kidnapped. But actually it was okay. It was by friends of his who in a way were a bit more sensible than he was perhaps, because they knew that Martin Luther was just going to go around and carry on getting into trouble, and they wanted to protect him. So they kidnapped him and they hid him in a castle for a year just to keep him safe. And you think, oh, lovely, finally, poor Martin Luther gets a holiday, a whole year in a castle. Imagine that. He wasn't the kind of bloke that sat around doing nothing. He spent that year translating the Bible from Latin into German so that other people in Germany could see what God really said too. And then in the end, he came out of hiding and he went back into his town. But he spent the rest of his life in danger. All the time he thought he might be killed for what he was doing. And he did loads of other things too, and some of them were really, really good, and some of them weren't very good at all. Some of them were really bad, in fact, because he was just like anyone else, like us. He wasn't a perfect man. But we haven't got time for the rest of the story now. There's loads of good books out there, so you can go and find it out for yourself. But the really big thing for us to remember this morning, the most important thing, is Martin Luther realized we can't be friends with God by paying money. And we're probably thinking, well, we know that. None of us came to church this morning thinking we can be friends with God by paying for it. But he also realized we can't be friends with God just by trying really hard to be really, really good, by doing lots of things, by praying lots. None of that will make us friends with God. The only way to be friends with God is by trusting Jesus and having his perfect record count for us. So that, isn't this an amazing thought? When God looks at me, if I'm trusting Jesus, he doesn't see the way I was a little bit grumpy when I got out of bed this morning. And he doesn't see the nasty things I said to people this last week and the naughty thoughts I've had. He doesn't see any of that. If I'm trusting Jesus, he sees this. Jesus' perfect record. He sees that for all of us if we're trusting him. And he says, you really can be my friend. Let's pray together. Thank you very much for Martin Luther, Lord, and the way that you used him to help so many other people, including us, understand the truth that we can't be right with you by trying really hard ourselves. We can't be right with you by paying, but we can wonderfully be right with you by trusting Jesus and having his record count for us. And we thank you so much that means if we're trusting him, we haven't got to worry about whether you like us or not. You just tell us we're your friends. And that is a wonderful thing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.